Hi, everyone. It's John Pryor for the Georgian Impact Podcast. When I talked to entrepreneur and blockchain expert William Mugayar a few months ago, we focused our conversation on the use of digital tokens as mediums of exchange, the importance of trust and how to establish it on the blockchain, and even why CryptoKitties as purely digital assets are important to understand. We also talked about the future of the blockchain, the kinds of businesses that are most likely to bring it to the mainstream, and the role that regulation might play in all this. Sounds like a lot, but hey, there was a lot to cover. But if you haven't heard it, it's episode 76 and one of our most popular to date. Today, I wanted to bring you a bit more of that conversation where we dug into Bitcoin. It didn't make it to the original podcast. It was a different subject, but it's less than 7 minutes and it's a fascinating discussion in which William talks about the roller coaster ride that Bitcoin has been on in recent months, as well as the future of digital and cryptocurrencies. I hope you enjoy it. Here it is. So William, just to pivot a bit from our earlier conversation about the blockchain, I would like to spend a few minutes with you and get your thoughts about Bitcoin, given all the hype about it in the media earlier this year. And considering the roller coaster ride it has been on, where do you think things are headed?
Well, that's the nature of the cryptocurrency environment today. Volatility is part of it. And if you look at the history of prices over the last 6 years, there has been ups and downs of the same scale as the ones we are seeing today. So going up and down by 40% up to 70% over a period of a month, although it sounds like it's crazy, it's not in the cryptocurrency space. It is something that will continue to exist right now until we get more maturity in the space. That will happen when the currencies that have more potential will not move in concert with everybody else. Right now, the whole market is moving at the same time together. There's no differentiation between quality and less quality. And that's the issue I see right now. When you start to see certain currencies move more than others and others being left behind, that's when the smart money will be more into the system. Right now, there is a lot of speculative money that's in the system, and they either move it up or down altogether, and they speculate on it altogether at the same time. I don't think that's going to be sustainable over the long term.
And it shouldn't really get to the point that I'm speculating on a currency. I'm speculating on the value that the currency delivers. So if it is an ether that can enable dozens and dozens of applications, a la cryptocurrency or the Ripple coin, which I forget, that does a single transaction. But if there's value in what they're enabling, then there's value in the token, right?
Correct. But the issue today is how to quantify and how to measure this value and how to link it to the price of a particular token or a particular cryptocurrency. So what is the actual metric? What is the set of metrics? Is it transactions? Is it the velocity of money? Is it the number of users? Is it the usage? All of this is new territory. In the traditional finance world, we have earnings per share, we have sales, we have profits, we have EBITDA, we have all these known types of measures and metrics. But in the cryptocurrency space, all of this is new territory, and we're trying to put some quantified measures on top of it. And right now, much of that is quite nebulous and quite early. It is almost being driven by speculation and less by real objectivity.
Yeah, I love the fact that you're coming back to the real business measures, EBITDA, or those are the measures that matter. And we don't know necessarily what the measures are going to be for these, but I think that obviously will come. You're the perfect person to answer this question. And in some of the writings you did, we talked about wireless phones help third world countries because they didn't have to build a wired infrastructure. And it was a leapfrog of technology into a place where it couldn't be there before. What's your sense on how this could actually also change? When I was, my son was in the Peace Corps in Senegal, and they were moving money around with their text-based wireless phones. There was value that you bought in the phone, and you could transfer your value to another phone. They was almost doing banking without even a bank. And to me, that was the very first example of a kind of a decentralized example. Where do you think this can go, both in kind of the traditional first world countries, and do you think it's different in third world countries?
That's a good analogy. And the situation here is that if you think of the blockchain as something that's going to replace what we have by just attacking it, it's not going to happen. It's think of it as an alternative system. In the same way that when cellular phones came along, we didn't use the existing wired infrastructure to put cell towers. Cell towers consisted of a new infrastructure, and the blockchain is in this new infrastructure, new types of layers. It's new types of applications, new types of protocols, and new users. So we want to bring into the blockchain users that could not get into the existing systems today. And that's how to think about it. But the challenge is that you start with zero users. You start with zero customers, and you have to build from that.
I guess as a final question in this kind of monetary space. So my daughter sends me cash now via Venmo. You know, I had to get on and learn how to use that. That's not obviously a Bitcoin yet. In New York City, there are a couple of Bitcoin ATMs. Let's just kind of look out a few years. What should a consumer that wants to just kind of stay current begin to think about? Where are we going to go in terms of digital currency versus cryptocurrency? Where do you think the future is going to land?
Well, in the future, we're all going to have wallets in our smartphones. And those wallets will not just contain a fiat currency like dollars or euros or pounds or francs, but they will contain a cryptocurrency that we can send and receive very easily as sending an email. Or it could be currency that we earn via the interaction that we have with these applications. So every application in the future will have a wallet built in, where when you interact with it, you may be earning or spending or creating value and replenishing your wallet. And that's going to be the future. And the key here in comparing it to Venmo, although Venmo has the semblance and the appearance of peer-to-peer because you're sending it from one person to another, there is somebody in the middle. And you cannot get a Venmo account without having a bank account. Whereas with a crypto wallet, you can have a crypto wallet without having a bank account.
Just like we were in Africa with the phones, exactly the same model.
Yes, yes.